All right. Good morning. Thank you for being here. If you guys want to come find your seats. So if I don't know you, my name is Dove, and I'm one of the pastors here. And I want to tell you thanks for being here. Like Blaze said, today is very different. Today we are grieving the loss of a young woman who means a lot to us. And so many of you may not know Mary Howell, but last Sunday was the last Sunday I saw her. And it was the last time many of us saw her. And so we have been grieving together and loving each other and supporting them. And it has been, it's been okay. God has been in it. God has proved to be good and faithful through all of it. And we are committed to walk beside Marty and Jen and Sarah through this and walk with each other. And I've seen that God is in it. And God is faithful and He is good. And so, why don't I pray? I wanted to share a few things about loving each other, and then I'll pass it off. But thank you, God. Thank you that you are here. I thank you that you love us so deeply. Your love is so good. I need your love. I can't live without your love. You are the source of my life. You are my hope. You are everything good that I have. Come and speak to us. Come and give us soft hearts, that we wouldn't reject you or push you away. Give us hearts that receive what you want to say to us today. Give us hearts to have the courage to stay open and to continue to love. We ask for your blessing here. We ask that you would continue to unite us as a family, as a community, in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said that, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." On Tuesday, we had a time of grieving. We had some grief counselors come, and we had a couple circles. And in this room, there was a circle of all the younger people, and they had a time to process the feelings and what was going on in them surrounding Mary's death. And I was so blessed. After that time, I walked in here, and I could see that a load had been lifted off of a lot of shoulders. And there was little groups of our tiny little youth group here in El Paso. And surrounding them were these folks from Greeley. These people from Colorado who had come to love them. And it was such a beautiful picture to me of what it means to love one another. And I want to thank you guys for surrounding us in love and supporting us in love. And by this, people see that God's love is real. And I want to share three things about loving each other. The first one I want to share is that we are only able to love when we have been loved. We love because we were first loved. And the past 3 years have been kind of hard for me. And in the midst of that, one of the most beautiful gifts that I've had is that I feel like I know that God loves me more than I've ever known in my whole life. And I think I've known that in my head for a long, long time. But it's slowly seeping through that filter into my heart, where I know that God loves me. And there's such an amazing security that comes when we know that we're loved. And the amazing thing that has been happening is, as I know that I'm loved, I see all around that I'm loved. As I know that I'm loved, I'm able to receive love that before I dismissed or I pushed away. And I don't think my wife started loving me more in the past couple years, but I have seen that my wife loves me more than I've ever seen in my life. And I have seen that people here love me. And I've even been able to see that some of those times when it feels like I'm not being loved, it's not actually about me. It's actually sometimes about someone else's fear and their insecurity or the anger, the things that they're going through. And I have been able to be more secure in my life, and I'd love to keep growing forward. I'd love to be more secure in the fact that I'm loved. A person this week said to me, when you know that God loves you, everything else is easy. I thought that's so true. When you know how deeply you are loved, the rest becomes easier. And then all those voices, all those people that love us reinforce that. And it's amazing to me. I've seen in my life and in others, sometimes we reject that voice of love from God that says, you are my beloved child that I love. And we reject that voice. And a couple of those reasons is, one is we think sometimes we don't need love. And so we reject it. I don't need that. I'm strong enough, whatever. I don't need love. And another one is, I'm not worthy of love. And those places, they reject that love from actually coming in. And then another that happens is, we have an enemy. And the enemy desires to put lies and accusations into our minds. He is the father of lies. The devil is the father of lies. And the unfortunate thing is, sometimes we receive those lies as truth. And some of the things that I believe are actually lies. And some of the things that you believe are actually lies. And they keep us from experiencing at times that tremendous love of God. And I have found that it's so good just to keep bringing out what I believe. Just bring it out. Bring it out into the light and look at it. Is this really true? Is this really good? Is this really from God? And sometimes it's nice to even have somebody else. Hey, here's what I believe. Like, whoa, you believe that? Well, yeah, it made sense before I said it. And then from that place, allow God to speak his truth. At some level, there has to be something that would persuade us. What would persuade us? What has enough clout to convince our heart that we are unconditionally loved and accepted right in this moment, with a permanent love? I can't convince you. My words don't have enough clout. I can't persuade you. But if you will allow the voice of God to persuade you at the depths of your spirit, it will absolutely transform you. And I just encourage all of us to find that secure place in love. You are loved so deeply, more than you will ever fathom. Like we sang today, no one can fathom the height and depth and breadth and length of God's love. You can't. But you can taste it and accept it. And from that place of being secure in God's love, we are able to love one another. And we are able to be pictures in our own imperfection, in the conditionalness of God's love. And we can bring that to each other in a tangible way. What an amazing privilege to communicate the love of God to others that is already there. The second thing I want to say about loving each other is that conflict is a part of every close relationship. Conflict is not a sign of an unhealthy relationship. Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. Every close relationship has conflict. And I want to encourage you to not let that stop your relationships. To not let that drive a wedge in your relationships. And for some of us, especially those of us that don't have that secure place of love, and part of that is just we missed that somehow growing up. Either we were unable to hear it or the message didn't connect. And some of us, you know, had parents that were gone or parents that abandoned us. And so for some of us, it's actually harder. And I want to encourage you, do not let those conflicts stay there, but to work through them. And if you need support in those, it is okay to ask someone, man, I am stuck. I have unforgiveness. I need help. And I want to encourage each of us in that place. It is not a time to turn it into like gossip. Oh, you're right. That person's horrible. Yeah, no wonder. They're an awful person. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that. I can't, you know. You guys know what gossip is. I don't need to tell you what it looks like. It's not a time to engage in gossip. It's a time to say, let me hear how it hurts. And then let me encourage you, do not let that sit. Let me encourage you, what strength do you need to have the courage to go and talk to this person who loves you and bring that connection of love? That's not easy. For some of you, that's pretty easy, actually. Some of you are great at working through conflict. Teach us. Keep teaching us. For some of us, that is like, feels like an insurmountable wall. You want me to work through this pain with someone? And so, not in a way to slam each other or gossip, but in a way to support each other. Let's love and support each other to work through those things. And the last thing I wanted to say, and this is mostly for the Greeley guys and young people, but anyone single, is in my life, I thought romantic love could just fill that hole I needed for love. And I found out it doesn't. If you don't already know that you're loved, all the romance in the world is not going to do that. It's not going to convince you you're loved. In fact, it's probably going to lead to a lot more pain. And so, romantic love is one of the sweetest gifts that God's given. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And yet, if that's a place where you're seeking love rather than coming in knowing you're loved, it's going to be really painful. And I just want to encourage those of you that are single, that's a tough road. You can still get a great sense of love without that. And be patient in that. Find God's love very deeply before you jump in looking for that and end up causing even more pain. One of the advices that really stuck with me is be friends with people. That's pretty shocking. And what that looks like is you hang out in these things called groups. And groups are a beautiful place to develop friendships and develop love and to know that you're loved and to get to know someone enough that you're like, that's the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. And when I have jumped into romantic relationships, I get so blinded and so messed up. But when I have not, and it's like, okay, just be in groups, it's like, that is the worst advice in the world. There's only one thing I want, and that's to be alone with this person. And so I want to encourage you guys to be patient. It's a good place to be. And some of us look at all this young single energy and go, we remember that fondly. You are in a good place. Okay, so yesterday we had a celebration of life for Mary, and I had the honor of getting to just share about Mary and honor her life and our God who is in the midst of it. And after that, I was kind of tired. And so I called John and I said, hey, John, did you want to speak? Sounded like you might have some more stuff on your heart. And so John said, sure, I'll fill in as much as you'd like. And I was like, how about the whole thing? And then later I was like, well, I actually wanted to share some things on love. I had some ideas on love I wanted to share. So some of you might not know John Meyer. John Meyer was in Iowa back in the 70s. He can tell you everything I said wrong, but this is how I remember his story. He was in Iowa in the 70s, and at that time, he experienced a life-changing awareness of Jesus Christ. Or I should say a life-giving awareness of Jesus Christ. And as God changed his life and his gifts came to the surface, he moved to Fort Collins to pastor a church in Fort Collins. And so I came to CSU in Fort Collins. I went to college there. And some folks in that church shared the good news of Jesus with me. I came to a life-giving awareness of Jesus Christ. And John was my pastor, one of my pastors, in Fort Collins for many years. And much of the way I think and much of just a lot of things have been imprinted in my life because of John. And one of the things that I really admire about John is that he believes without a doubt and in a really beautiful way that the Bible is really, really the communication from God. It is really, really true. You can read it and bank on it and hear from God and know that those things communicated to you can go to the very depths of your heart. You don't have to filter it. Everything in there is trustworthy and sent from God. And his confident faith has blessed my life. Just because I'm me and he's John, we don't see everything exactly the same. But the way he sees the world has been a blessing to me. And so he's currently in leadership of our group of churches, M28 Alliance. And so he lives in Loveland, Colorado, and he's just here for the day. And so, John, I think we'd all be blessed by what's on your heart. And so if you want to come share.
Yeah, I was amazed that Dove was even up for sharing it all today. But I just thought God gave such grace yesterday, I just wasn't even going to say anything. I thought, well, gee, I just appreciate how God spoke it through me even this morning, Dove. Just such good thoughts. And I've gotten to share some things with people related to life here. What you guys have been through as a church. And I have about 15 minutes to just pass on some things that I trust can be helpful to you guys. Your church is starting to write a new chapter. And you guys are going to determine what gets written in that chapter. But it's going to be very critical and very important for what the Rio is 2 years from now and 5 years from now. You need to write the chapter that God wants you to write. He needs that from you. What He wants to bring into this community through the Rio depends upon what you write from this day forward about God, about yourselves. And some of these thoughts are very similar to what Dove just shared. So, Jesus, be gracious with this time. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, we read the Bible in one verse, just so transformative. You don't need a lot of time. You don't need a lot of time to share what you want to share. I just ask God you take these 5 loaves and 2 fish of these few minutes and just bring something helpful, something from you, something with your power to these believers. In Jesus' name, amen. And one of the things I for sure want you guys to understand is that even though Mary was lost from your church, in your midst, there will be different degrees of loss. And it's very important to recognize that. All of us received an incredible shock last Monday and Tuesday. I got the text Tuesday morning. It was just overwhelming. Oh my goodness, it was just incredibly powerful impact on my life, recognizing that Mary was gone. And yet, I didn't know Mary very well. I knew her parents much better. And so for me, when I go home, there will be very little loss for me. I was not expecting to see Mary next week. I was not expecting to be engaged with her in a church meeting or church group. I don't have tons of memories with Mary. And so my loss is small. And so the Bible tells me that I am in a place where I can recognize what that loss would be, and I can comfort, and I can come alongside. But that's my role. I don't need to feel bad that I don't feel the same loss that some of you will feel, and you cannot escape. Because a week ago, you were thinking you would see Mary next Wednesday, or whenever it is. You were thinking there was a story that you were still part of in her life. You do have tons of memories and tons of interactions. For you, the loss is real. And so you're in one of two categories in this room. You're in the role of someone whose loss is maybe at a lesser level, but you can come alongside. And you don't have to feel bad that, oh, I just feel bad. I don't feel as deep a loss as they feel. Well, you don't feel that because you didn't have that. But you can be a source of strength for them. You know, there's that verse in Matthew 25 where Jesus, he speaks to those on his right and says, hey, you know what? I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you visited me. And so Jesus was talking to people who, they weren't in prison, but they knew someone who was. They had food, but they knew someone who did not. And he spoke to people who were in one situation who had things they could bring to others. So in this room, even in your church, recognize there's different degrees of loss. And in some places, there's great loss. And it will never fully go away. And in other places, there's a role of comforting, and there's a role of strengthening, and there's a role of coming alongside as a brother or sister and recognizing where that person is at and being with them in that. Related to that, I just want you guys to understand that the way God has made our brains, in the end, ultimately, we have to make sense of things. We have to be able to go, okay, I finally figured out, this is the message here, this is the story here, this is what happened here. With something as huge as Mary's passing, everybody will draw some lesson from that. Everyone will write some narrative, some story about what this really means. And here's what I want to try to get across in just a few words. We're going to write, in one sense, two stories. Maybe they'll be the same. Hopefully they'll be the same. But there is the explanation and the understanding and how all this fits with God and with me and with the world that we know is the truth according to what the Bible says in our head. We know the right answers, and eventually we'll find those right answers and we'll put that story together, and that will be the answer in our head. That'll be the answer we hear in church. That'll be the answer we talk about with one another when we talk about it. But there's a really good chance that you are going to be challenged and called to write another story about what this really means. And that other story is one you probably will never share with anybody else, but it's what you've decided is really true. So what is true? Maybe it's this. Maybe it's the message that, whoa, I just learned God will not protect me. Or God will not protect my children. Or nothing is sure. Maybe it's you look at Mary's life and you know of her faith and you go, well, believing in God doesn't make any difference. I sure learned that. Believing in God doesn't make any difference. Didn't make any difference for Mary. Life can get so hard that the best thing to do is just quit. That's the lesson. And I feel it inside. Maybe you think this. If I hadn't taken Mary's popsicle when she was 5, she might still be here. Or more realistically, if I'd been a better friend, if I'd prayed for her more, if I'd done this, if I'd done that, and you will never tell anyone else that, but you live with that cloud. Oh, here's one. Mary's family must be bad. So many different stories can get written in there. And I want you guys to understand, I'm going to lay out a simple picture where those stories can come from. They come from many places, but they're spoken by a voice that has much power. They are spoken by a voice that wants to write a story in your heart. Just like Dove shared, he knew in his head God loved him, but don't we all struggle with what's really written down here in our heart? There's stories in our head, and there's voices and explanations here, and then there's what we really own down here. And I just want you guys to recognize that the critical writing for the chapter of your church is what do all of you write down here? And there is a voice, the voice of the accuser. And it's a voice with power. And that power wants to speak into your heart. The devil is called the accuser. The devil is called the slanderer. The devil is called the deceiver. And he is able, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that he's like a roaring lion. He's prowling around and he's seeking someone to devour. And, you know, somehow he had put thoughts and stories in Mary's mind and her heart. And there were stories there. There were voices there. And I don't know anything about Mary's background. I don't know her story there. But I do know that there was wrestlings there. And eventually, we will live in the framework of the voices we listen to. So in your life, when you try to look at this and have it make sense, you are going to be brought explanations about yourself, about God, about the circumstances, and there's going to be a power in those voices. And there's going to be a focus to own that. And when that gets written in your heart, it's very hard to change it. But I want you to understand this also. There is another voice, and it's a voice of our Savior. It's a voice of God's Spirit. It's God speaking to the whole world and speaking to His people. And for each one of us, we have a chance to listen to that voice. In our lives, for every one of us, the most significant thing about each one of us is which of those two sets of voices will we listen to? So I want you to just pause right now. I want you to just look inside your heart. For some of you, there may be nothing related to this. But is there a voice? Is there a message? Is there a narrative? Is there a story? You go, wait a minute, I don't think that's from God, but boy, it sure seems true. Wow, I sure feel pressed by that. I feel convicted. I feel accused. I feel labeled. I feel like I want to accuse. Do you have anything in there like that? I don't know if you ever watched the movie Inside Out. Who's seen the movie Inside Out? All right, most of us. So, the character Anger, he wants Riley to run away. So he goes and he gets the idea and he sticks the light bulb in the little socket and he just waits. And then the light bulb goes down, zoop, and he goes, well, she took it. There's no turning back now. He's sticking light bulbs in there. He's sticking light bulbs in there. And he's watching. And he's hoping he's going to be able to say, she took it. He took it. Great. Because I'm going to use that later. The voice of God also has power. Paul wrote, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. As Dove shared, we can tell one another all day long, God loves us. But I want you to understand, and we sang this in the songs, and it was so encouraging, what we're about, brothers and sisters in Christ, what we're about is we are about the people who experience the power of God. Don't you think there's power of evil in the world? I'm telling you what, there is a power of evil in the world. And if all we have is knowledge, but evil has power, it is not going to be good. But God's church does not just have the right knowledge and ideas. God's church has power. And we have to understand that. God's voice can speak into your heart. So as Dove shared, you go, I know God loves me. I know God loves me. Why does he know that? Because it's more than head knowledge. The power of God's word, the power of God's voice has spoken it to him. And we know from the Gospels when Jesus spoke, the universe changed. And what you and I both need is way more expectation upon the power of God. God, we are your people. We believe your truth. But God, we need your truth and power. The world needs to see your people filled with your power. The power to love. The power to believe. The knowledge that goes not here, but here, I know it. One of the things I would share if I had another half an hour was on the goodness of God, because that's one of the areas where God spoke to me. I just like to stand up here all day long and just go on and on about the goodness of God in this broken, crazy world. But he's good. And why do I have that? Because I think God's power has spoken that into me. If you guys will let this horrible event open you up to listening to the voice of God, not to that other voice, which also has power. If you will say, Jesus, what is true here? And I was going to walk through some of those things that are true, like, I won't even go into it, because he can speak those to you. What is true here? What is true here? Jesus, speak that to me. Make me someone who can stand in that truth in my world, who has all their voices going on, but I have heard yours. I have heard yours. Not just by reading words in a book, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of words. It's a matter of power. Jesus' desire is to write the next chapter for this church with his power and make you all people who know how to find him in the midst of horrible things, because there's a whole world out there that needs people who know how to find God in the midst of horrible things. And you can be those people partly through this if you hear the voice of God. So I know there's a couple more songs. I just like Blaze to come up here, because I just like to give you guys a moment to think and meditate. I'm serious about this. I used to think pretty much, I'm sort of a bookish guy. The important thing was knowledge and understanding it, getting the understanding right, get your doctrine right, get the information right. But I have really come to see it is way beyond that. We have an adversary that is way more than about just the wrong information. There's power. There's power. Look at our world. Don't you see power in lies? I see power in lies. Jesus is the guy with big power. His church will prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it will not just be words. It will be the power of his Spirit speaking truth into the soul of his people. So I just want you to just close your eyes. You know, maybe you even don't have much from this that connects with you, because you are not one of those people who experience great loss. But maybe the fact that somebody died still just freaks you out. And it is still writing stories in there. There's stories that are going to be written because of Mary's death. And I want you to imagine yourself sitting before Jesus. I want you to be in his presence. Certainly we should expect that we can come into the presence of God. And in that presence, I just invite you to say to Jesus, Jesus, what do you want me to know about this? And then I want you just to listen. Just listen. Ask him, what do you want me to know about this? And then I want you to listen. I believe that many of you will hear Jesus Christ speak his truth with power to you. I'm just going to give you a couple minutes to do that. I just invite you to win here. Jesus, these are your sheep. This is your church. This is your territory. This belongs to you. This is yours. Lord, I just pray that you would claim all of these hearts, all of these people for yourself. Lord, I pray that you would make them deeper and stronger in you through your power. That you would make this church that's clear about who you are and who they are and what they're here for and what's going on in this crazy world. They are your people. Lord, give them answers in their souls about all those lies and accusations and all those false stories that the devil wants to write. Just ask for your peace here, Lord Jesus. Strength, peace and strength, peace and strength, peace and strength. I just pray it over these people, Lord, peace and strength and victory and love and grace and power. Lord, fill it here, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.